This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن ولا إلا الدين. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. This will be my only time okay today. InshaAllah. So after getting five of me yesterday, four of me yesterday, I lost count, I think, after three. InshaAllah, this will be my only time, InshaAllah, so you'll get to enjoy a lot more of our speakers today. And the topic, the importance of da'wah, is something that I go on and on and on and on about, because this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. It is something that is at the core of my identity. It drives me to do what I do. It's the reason why I'm standing here in front of you today. So this is a subject that really doesn't take a lot of preparation on my end, because this is something that I've decided to live 24/7. But one thing that I want to share with you today is the dire need for everyone else to understand the importance of this noble work. Because we are in a crisis situation throughout the world when it comes to this work. Realistically, we're in a crisis situation. And rather than giving you all of the knowledge and the ilm right away, I'm going to just talk to you. I'm going to be real with you. That we are in dire straits when it comes to understanding da'wah and its capacity and its importance in the world right now. If you wanted to give a list of people who are giving their lives to this noble work, who are sacrificing their time, their effort, away from their families. Sometimes they're sacrificing their own income, their own well-being, their own health, to put forward the message of La ilaha illallah, their own safety in some places, to put forward this work. That list wouldn't be very long. That list wouldn't be very long. Give me some names. People that are doing this work full-time, sacrificing their entire life to put the message of Islam out for the world, bringing people to the knowledge of La ilaha illallah. Give me some names.
Yusuf Estes.
Yusuf Estes. Dr. Zakir Naik, Ibrahim Green. Tahir Sabreez. Yusha Evans is not even close. How many more? Khalid Hussein. Do you see the point I'm getting at here? You've only given me a few names and you're already thinking hard. You've only given me five, six names. Then you have to think hard now.
Khalid Jibril.
The point is that list is very short. How many of us are in the world? A couple billion. Just a couple billion. But yet the people who are doing the work of conveying this message to the world is a list that you can put on one to two hands. And one thing I want to say is, how many of you in here were born Muslim? Born and raised Muslim. Put your hands up. Wow. Let me put my glasses on, make sure I saw that right. Put them up again. Hands down. How many of you in here reverted to Islam? You came back to Islam? A few hands up. That list I just gave you, you see the proportion now, right? Majority of you born Muslim. A few in here reverted to Islam. That list of names you just gave me, the majority of them, which category do they go into? The people who reverted. Do you see a disparagement here? Is there something wrong with this? For sure there's something wrong with this. Because you were born with a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. When Allah Azza wa Jalla created you and placed you in a Muslim family, it was a ni'mah to you. You were raised knowing who Allah is. You were raised knowing what the Book of Allah was. You were raised hearing the Book of Allah, the very kalam of Allah. You were raised hearing it. You were raised seeing correct worship. You were taught proper aqidah. And that is a ni'mah and a favor that Allah has given to you. Some of us, we weren't given that favor by birth. We were born as a Muslim, but then raised as something else. And we struggled for a little while. Some people struggled for a long while, very hard, to receive that same ni'mah that you were born with. But we all owe the same debt of gratitude. as I talked about yesterday, that we can't repay. We are in debt to Allah with a debt that we cannot repay. And that debt is greater than the vision that we were given, the sight that we were given, the heart that beats in our chest, the air that we breathe, because Allah gives that to the non-Muslims too. Allah gives that to the disbelievers. The greatest ni'mah given to every one of you in this room was the ni'mah of being guided to the truth. Because for sure, that heart in your body, without guidance, it's doing you no good. Those eyes that see, Allah says, without guidance, they're blind. Those ears He gave you to hear, Allah says, without guidance, they're deaf. That mind He gave you to think with, Allah says, without guidance, it is dumb. So for sure you have been given a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. You need to question yourself each and every single day. How much have I done in an attempt to repay that ni'mah? And some of repaying that ni'mah that Allah has given you is to realize that other people deserve it just as much as you. Other people deserve it just as much as you. You don't hold some monopoly that just because you were born in a Muslim country you deserve to be a Muslim. Allah created everyone in the same form and fashion, in the best of molds. And He wants everyone to have guidance. If it was His will, He would have guided everyone. But we know it is His will for everyone to walk aright. And they deserve to know about Allah just as much as you deserve to know about Allah. I'm going to give you a few things and then I'm going to tell you a story and we'll be done. The beautiful verses from the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla should be enough to hit this topic home. But I'm going to try to be a little bit thorough, inshallah, since they gave me some leeway to have some time. We know the very beautiful verse in Surah An-Nahl where Allah says, "أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن." Allah says, convey and command and call to the way of your Lord with wisdom. And we know that wisdom is to use knowledge at the right time, at the right place. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and with good speech, with beautiful words. And argue with them or discourse with them in a way that is best. But then Allah goes on to say, and He knows best those who are guided and He knows best those who are astray. The very first word of this verse, ud'u, what root word does it come from? Da'a. To call. The same root word we get from du'a. The same root word we get from da'wa. But when it takes the form of ud'u, it has a connotation. What form does the word ud'u take? An amr. It takes the form of command. Allah is giving a command. Ud'u. First and foremost to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But He did His job. He did His job. He fulfilled it perfectly. Then that command was passed on to the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Ud'u. They did their job. Wallahi, we have to say alhamdulillah, they did their job. Because if they had done what we do, we'd all be in trouble. You might not have been born with that ni'mah if they did what we do. We also have been given that command, ud'u, because that command is It is an amr, but is that command general or is that command specific? Breaking down some grammar for you today, inshallah. Show you the beauty of the book of Allah. Is that command general or specific? General. It's a general amr. It's an amr. Meaning that it's for who? Everybody. Allah doesn't say, ud'u, O you who do this. He doesn't give any conditions after for those who should be called. It's a general command to anyone who reads this verse. If you believe in this book, this command is speaking to you. And the unfortunate fact, which is an entire another lecture, which some of you may have heard, I've been here, I think this is the fifth time in like the past year, you've heard me say that one of the most unfortunate things about our ummah, and when I say our ummah, I'm not talking about this group or that group or this nation or that nation. I'm speaking, إِنَّ هَذِي أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةٍ وَحِيدًا. This your ummah is one ummah. So when I say ummah, we're all in it for the good or for the bad. One of the most unfortunate things about this ummah is our failure to act. Our complete inaction. You know, the companions, رَضِّ اللَّهُ عَنْ, may Allah be pleased with all of them. We know that Allah is pleased with them, and He is pleased with them. They are pleased with Him. Allah says about them, when He would command them to anything, their response would be simply two words with a conjunction. What would it be? سَمِعْنَا وَأَتَعَنَّا. We hear you and we obey. That was their deen. That was the simplicity of the companions' deen. We hear and we obey. There was nothing more to their deen than this. We hear you and we obey. And they were, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرٌ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. They were the best of us. They were the best of us. And Allah says about them, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرٌ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. That was them. Unfortunately, we have tried to say that we are those people, when it is a very unfortunate attribution we give to ourselves. Because when Allah says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرٌ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, you are the best nation ever developed for mankind. That wasn't for no reason. Allah didn't just tell them they were the best nation for no reason. There were some conditions that came behind it. Why did Allah say they were the best nation? تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَانَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرُ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You are the best nation ever raised for mankind because you command to good and you forbid evil. And you believe in Allah. If we're not doing that, we are not كُنْتُمْ خَيْرًا أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ anymore. That's the best of us. And Allah says about them, السَّابِقُونَ وَالسَّابِقُونَ. They have preceded us twice. They preceded us to Islam and they beat us to Jannah. On the other side of the scale, you have a people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a very despicable attribution. When He commanded them to do something, they would say, سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. We hear you, but we disobey. We hear you, but we don't care. We hear you, but we're going to do that. And initially, this was Bani Israel. And that's the worst end of the spectrum. And you know, the thing about this ummah is that we're not really on either end. And I'm not telling you what I've heard, what I've read about. Travel the world. Spend some time moving around this ummah. You'll see that we all have the same problems. No matter what land, nation you come from, we're suffering from many of the same things. We're not on either end of that spectrum. We don't hear and obey, and most of us do not have the audacity to say we hear you, Allah, but we're just not going to do it. We fall somewhere in between. And for those of you who heard me make this statement, you know what I'm going to say. We are a people whom when Allah says something, we say, سَمِعْنَا. We hear you and that's it. We just hear. We just listen. The book of Allah has become a recitation to us. We hear the book of Allah recited, what do we say? We don't say, سَمِعْنَا وَعَتَعْنَا. We say, MashaAllah. What a beautiful recitation. No matter what it is, I did this study for a year all throughout the world where I would give index cards out. And I stopped doing it because I really got my iman trashed for a moment. I would hand out index cards and I would say, I'm going to play something for 30 seconds. And all I want you to do is write down the first thing that comes to your mind. Sociological survey. I would play the recitation of Surah Al-Waqiyah. Yeah, it was from Mishari Rashid Al-Afasi. Beautiful recitation, no doubt. But you know what I would get on 99% of those cards? Beautiful recitation. Astaghfirullah. That's all you can get from Surah Al-Waqiyah. Surah Al-Waqiyah is what nightmares are made of. Surah Al-Waqiyah is what keeps the righteous up at night, prevents them from sleep. If all you can get is a beautiful recitation, then I have proved my point. When Allah speaks to us, we act like He's speaking to someone else. We look at the book of Allah as a recitation. We don't look at it as a guidebook. that it's speaking to me, it's telling me to do something. We don't look at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ anymore like a code of conduct. We look at it as something that is, mashallah, good for those who do it. May Allah bless him, he follows the sunnah. But, you know, that's not really necessary. It's an extreme kind of understanding. You don't got to go that far. It's 2012, I think. This is part of our problem, is our failure to act. And for sure we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never bless a people, ever bless a people who do nothing, especially in the face of the command to act. We can't just say, you know what, I'm not doing bad, not doing good really either, just not doing anything. So I'm going to kind of take the safe route. I'm not going to go over there too far, I'm not going to go over here too far, I'm just going to kind of play it out right here. I'm going to feel this one out for a minute and see what happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never bless something like that. Because Allah azza wa jalla has told us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي سِلْمِ كَافَةً. All you who believe, enter into Islam completely and follow not the footsteps of shaitan, for he is to you aduwwun mubin, an open enemy. What is Allah telling us? He's telling you that the safety of your life is in your deen. The safety from shaitan, from following the footsteps of shaitan, comes in your deen. And not in 50% of your deen, not in 80% of your deen, not in 90%, not in 99.999%. It comes in 100% of your deen. This is the safety from shaitan. Because let me tell you something for sure. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I'm going to get to the point of why da'wah is so important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in his last address to this ummah as a whole, in the farewell sermon, he said something about shaitan we need to take to heart. He said, shaitan has given up on you with the big things. Shaitan has given up on you with the large things. He knows he can't get you to worship sticks and rocks and stone and human beings anymore. He said, so beware of him in the small things. Beware of him in the small things. And wallahi, if shaitan can get you to have a little bit of doubt about one thing in your deen, if shaitan can get you to have a little bit of aversion to maybe one thing that you find in the book of Allah, or one thing you find authentically in the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so you say, you know what? I'm just going to leave that alone. Shaitan has already got you. He's already tricked you. Because one degree off of the straight path will no longer keep you on the straight path. You turn a ship's compass one degree off, it won't make it where it's supposed to go. You start from New York City, heading for the Cape Town, and you turn that ship's compass one degree, you're going to end up in China. We need to be very careful about this. The Prophet ﷺ also said about the straight path, he made an analogy. He said, the straight path is like a long pathway with doors all down. There are doors all along it. And there's a curtain over every door. And over every single one of those curtains, there is a shaitan calling, come in, come in, enter in. He said, at the end of that road is a caller saying, come forward and do not deviate. Don't even look through those curtains, just come forward. He said the caller at the end of the road is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling us to continue to come forward. But unfortunately we are too curious. Too curious to peek through these curtains. And wallahi, when you open those curtains, they're so temptation. They're so tempting that you say, okay, let me just have a peek. I know where the straight path is. It's back there. It's back there. I know where it's at. And when you get into that room, it's a maze of mirrors. It's a maze of mirrors that you might never find your way out of. This is the trick of shaitan. And one thing for sure shaitan does not want us to do, and this is we're going to get back to the subject. For sure one thing shaitan does not want us to do is follow that one beautiful command in the Quran, اُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِجْحِكْنَا. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahimahullah ta'ala, in his very beautiful book which I quoted from last night, Madarij al-Salikin, He has a chapter about the ghuraba, strangers, which we hear this title thrown around a lot now, especially from the youth. You see lectures about the ghuraba, song nasheeds about the ghuraba, ghuraba. Everybody's the ghuraba, everybody wants to be the ghuraba, the strangers' tour, the strangers' path, this, that, and the other. Half the time, none of us even know where the strangers are. They don't know, we don't know who they are. The Prophet ﷺ, when talking about the strangers, he said, "Ba'du Islam qareeb wa sayyud qareeb fatuba lil ghuraba." Islam began as a strange thing, would go back to being a strange thing. So glad tidings to the strangers. So everybody likes to stand up and say, "Yes, I'm a stranger. Fatuba lil ghuraba." Hold on a second. Hold on a second. This is part of our problem. When we look at the deen of the companions, radiallahu anhu, it shows very clearly in this hadith. Their question wasn't, they didn't make a statement, "Alhamdulillah, we're from the ghuraba." Their question was very simple. "Waman hum?" Who are these people? Who are these people? Tell us, describe them to us, so if we meet them, we can know them. He said, "Alladhina yuslihuna fasad an-nas." They are the people who, when they see corruption in the earth, they correct it. When they see corruption in the earth, they change it. They get involved in helping it, making it better. And then in another narration said, "Alladhina yuslihuna ma afsada an-nasu min ba'di min sunnati." They are those who, when they see my sunnah being corrupted, they rectify it. They rectify it. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, when speaking about this hadith, which, if you really wanted to know about the ghuraba, there are volumes written about the ghuraba. Volumes written about the ghuraba. You don't need a 30-minute lecture. There's volumes written about this very hadith. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala said that there are three levels of ghuraba, strangeness. There are three levels of ghuraba, strangeness. He said the first level of strangeness is the Muslim. Islam is the first level of strangeness, because indeed the Muslim is strange to humanity. Even if you are a marginal Muslim, a Friday Muslim, a Ramadan Muslim, an Eid Muslim, you're still strange. I don't care how much you try to throw that identity off. If you still hold anything of Islam, you are still one of them. And Allah tells us this in the Quran, they will never be pleased with you till you become like them. Meaning that if you really want to impress them, go be one of them. Until then, you're always going to be one of us. Take it or leave it. He said the first level of Islam, of ghuraba is strange, is Islam. He said, and that is praiseworthy. He said, but there's a higher level of strangeness. And that is the level of people who are not only Muslim, but they strive to live their lives according to the Book of Allah. And they strive to live their lives according to the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because those people will become strangers even amongst the strangers. They will be strangers even to their own fellow brothers and sisters. And we see that happening a lot. Sister decides she wants to dress properly now. She wants to put on proper clothing, cover herself, guard her modesty. Her parents, "What is this strange thing you have put on? This strange idea you have now that you need to put on a tent when you leave the house. What is wrong with you?" The brother now wants to, he doesn't want to grow his beard, because let me tell you, I think you can't make it grow. People come and ask me, "How do you make your beard grow?" I say, "I wish I knew that. You can't put Miracle Grow and there's no secret formula." It just grows or it doesn't grow. But they decide to leave what Allah put on their face alone. Akhi, what is wrong with you? They can't walk around with that bush on your face in 2012. It just doesn't work like that anymore. Alhamdulillah, the beard is coming back in style, whether you know it or not. I honestly get complimented on my beard more than you would believe. The bigger it gets, the more compliments I get. Wallahi, no, no. But he starts to try to follow the sunnah now. He practices, don't even think about practicing isbal, pulling your pants up now. Man, Michael Jackson, put that in style and it's going out of style. Leave those high waters alone. What are you doing? You got your pants jacked all the way up. Even my tailor, who is a Muslim, looks at me crazy every time I'm bringing in pants to cut them.
He's like, why are you destroying these beautiful pants?
He just cut the pants.
You become strange even amongst your own brothers and sisters. He said, and this is a praiseworthy quality, higher than the other one. He said, but the highest level of strangeness, and that one is the one that is inhabited by very few people. The highest level of ghulba are the people who are not only Muslim, they are not only striving to live according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but now they become involved in calling other people to that. They become involved in calling other people to come on to that. Now they're not only just dressing modestly, they're calling their parents, come on, you need to dress right too, mom. Seriously. Mom, you're too old to be dressing like that, come on. You start calling your friends at school, your brothers and sisters, look here. The Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is something that is beautiful. Dress properly, Afi. Stop cutting your face up, brother. This will make you a stranger amongst the strangers of the strangers. And these are the people whom Shaitan has a sworn enmity towards. Sworn enmity. Because not only now are you on the straight path, right? Let's equate the straight path to a highway. Major highway. Major highway. Every few miles on a major highway, what is there? Exits, right? Places to get off. When you start approaching exits, what do you start seeing on the side of the road? Signs, billboards. What are those signs and billboards telling you to do? Get off at the next exit. Get off! They're trying to do everything they can to get you off the highway. And when you get off the highway, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Their goal, really, if they could have it their way, you would never get back on the highway. There's even signs on the highway telling you to move here. Yes or no? Beautiful homes for under $200 right down the road, take a ride 2 miles down. They want you to get off the highway and never get back on. This is the marketing they have. Am I wrong? The Sirat al-Mustaqim is very similar to this highway. Because along this highway there are many exits. Along the straight path there's many places you can just get off. And Shaitan has set up signposts and billboards along that road trying to tempt you, get off. And when you get off, he will try to keep you off of everything he can. Now, think about the person who goes up and down the highway. Let's say I took it on my own. I'm tired of this whole idea of getting people off the highway. So I go up and down the highway, tearing down billboards, ripping down signs. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to go to jail, be in trouble. Correct? I'm a nuisance. The du'at are going up and down the Sirat al-Mustaqim, tearing down the signs that Shaitan is putting up. They're trying to warn people. They're standing at those exits saying, look, those of you who are on here, don't get off. And there are some other brave souls that are going off and trying to tell other people, look, get back on the highway. Come onto this road. So Shaitan is like, okay, hold on a second. It's hard enough to keep people getting off. But now you're making it even more difficult. You're making my job harder. So Shaitan has some vested interest in those people. And these are the people who are the true strangers. They are the real ghuraba that fulfill the hadith, الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ فَسَادَ النَّاسِ. And also, these are people whom Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala says in another place that we owe a debt of gratitude to. We owe them a debt of gratitude because it is the du'at that avoid the wrath of Allah from humanity. It is the du'at that withhold the wrath of Allah from His creation, because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I will never punish a people while there is... Finish it for me.
A messenger amongst them.
A warner amongst them.